The Quarter Pounder with Cheese had many great things. Maple-flavored griddle cakes isn't one of them. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Hi, I'm Cyndi Lauper. My scalp was covered with psoriasis, which could lead to psoriatic arthritis. But Cosentyx treats both.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis 300 mg dose and adults with active psoriatic arthritis 150 mg dose. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at Cosentyx.com or 1-844-COSENTYX.
Cosentyx works for me.
Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
At about 20 minutes past three on a sunny Friday afternoon, 10 people were killed in an explosion at a petrol station in the village of Creaslo in Donegal. The death toll including two teenagers and a five-year-old girl. The whole thing seems so incredibly random. And as I signed off on Friday at 12 o'clock noon, I'm just, you know, looking forward to a restful weekend, only to have this national tragedy to be inflicted upon us mid sunny Friday afternoon. My heart goes out to all the people in the area, and our condolences to those who are bereaved, and our sympathies with those who are recovering and the families of everybody in the area who are impacted by this. It struck me that were the same effect to be felt in Dublin, for example, it would probably have meant that hundreds of people had died in order for so many people proportionately to be impacted. And I'm thinking maybe going back years and years to the Stardust disaster and how many deaths there and how that impacted a whole area of North Dublin City. But this is proportionately the same kind of tragedy that the people of Creaslo and Donegal in general are suffering. The first funerals for those who died will be held tomorrow. Meanwhile, questions remain unanswered about what caused the blast. And I'm joined on the line by Director of Emergency Services of Donegal County Council, Gary Martin, who was at the scene. Gary, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
It seems that the emergency services were very quick to the scene.
Yeah, the combined ambulance response, fire service response and Gardaí response were on the scene within approximately 15 minutes. And as the scale of the incident became apparent to those immediate first responders, additional resources were called in from all of the primary response agencies.
The emergency services were faced with an explosion the like of which many of them would not have seen before.
No, it was, excuse me. And was unprecedented in its scale and complexity. The incident was chaotic in the context of the level of debris that was there, compounded by the fact that the building was visibly substantially unstable, and made very, very complicated by the fact that we were aware that there were a number of casualties within the remains of the building. So we had to be really, really careful in the first instance to ensure that we gave ourselves the best possible opportunity of rescuing those from within the structure, but also ensuring that, and as far as we possibly could, those that were actually affected and rescued could do so in as safe a manner as possible.
Now, clearly something devastating had happened, but at that stage and to this moment, and no one is quite sure how the explosion began and what caused it. So there was no reason to believe that it was, you know, not going to be followed by perhaps even a further explosion.
Well, in all such incidents, Pat, the responding services will do the dynamic risk assessment to assess basically the cause of the incident. And they'll take whatever action then they feel is necessary to try to make safe as possible the area that they're working in. And that, in this particular instance, basically what they did was they basically ensured that there were no possible further sources of ignition for a fire or explosion. So gas, electricity, water, all of those different types of utilities would have been cut off pretty much immediately. They would have done various tests for gas and other agents at the scene, and then they would have commenced, I suppose, to effect the various rescue and recovery efforts.
Now, would I be right in presuming that there is no mains gas supply in the area, that gas networks don't have a main running to your area?
No, there are no mains, no network services in that area, Pat, no.
So any gas explosion has to emanate from an appliance that was being powered by gas, be it from a tank outside a building or a cylinder within the building?
Yeah, well, there is a suggestion that it may have been caused by gas, but to be fair, the Gardaí technical resources have been on the scene since Saturday afternoon, and they're affecting to the best extent possible their resources to assess what the cause of the fire or cause of the event may have been. There was an explosion on site, there's no question at all about that, and there has been some speculation as to what may have caused that explosion. And to be fair, I suppose we need to just let the investigation run its course before we conclude on what the actual cause was.
And Gary, the power of the explosion was such that blocks were projectiles, really, at high speed, which moved quite a distance from the point of the explosion.
There's a building directly opposite the road from where the explosion occurred. I guess it's probably about 50 metres across the road, maybe a little bit longer. And there was substantial damage done to that as well. It was a very, very, very powerful explosion, very, very impactful. And clearly, you know, from anyone who has seen the pictures, essentially blew out the entire front of the building, damaged the back of it, took the roof down, and all of the internal structures as well.
What is extraordinary to many of us who are not familiar with this kind of happening is the lack of fire.
Yeah, there was a flash fire immediately after the explosion, but thankfully there was no ongoing fire, probably helped by the fact that there were no fire agents or fire accelerants immediately within the locus of the event itself. There was obviously a petrol station, a forecourt to the front of the building, but thankfully there was no ignition from that source.
Yeah. And the tanks, I presume, would be under the forecourt, which is normal in a petrol station or any kind of a service station that would have diesel and petroleum and any other liquids. They would be fairly well protected, I presume, under the forecourt.
Oh, they would, yeah. Yeah, I mean, the only visible part, as you know yourself, you know, of a petrol station is effectively the pumps. So if they are not damaged and if the hoses are not damaged, there are various checks and balance systems in place there. And thankfully, there was no major issue presenting from them.
Now, the nature of this explosion was such that people far and wide heard the explosion. And of course, with mobile phones and social media and so on, people learnt very quickly of the tragedy that was unfolding at the Apple Green service station. So they wanted to help, and that must have created certain logistical problems, because you're experts going in who know the protocols, and then you've got all the people who want to help and who might be putting themselves in danger by lifting things that shouldn't be lifted and so on, and yet the urgency to find those trapped below was immense.
The human side of this is something that you never really plan for. You know, we're, you know, our county, you know, is a small enough county population-wise, and the village of Creasla is a very small village. Everyone knows everyone else, as is the case in most Irish villages. So when something happens in the middle of your village, you know that your friends and neighbours are caught up in that. And, you know, our first reaction is always, you know, how can we actually help? And, you know, I do want to pay huge tribute to all of those who selflessly ran to the event and tried to help. I wouldn't condemn them at all. Like they're doing what any of us would want to be done. Were we caught up in the same event as well? And you know, everyone, you'll have heard the testimony from those. Everyone knows, you know, those who were caught up in this. You know, and the people that unfortunately lost their lives. You know, Catherine and James and Robert and Sean and Leona, Jessica, Martina, James, Martin, Hugh. Like these are all family, they're all neighbours, they're all children, they're all friends of people in that locality. And the whole community, and indeed our whole county, is in absolute shock as a result of this. And The investigation will take its course, and you know, there'll be a conclusion drawn at a point in time. At the moment, it's very much about trying to help that community come to terms with, you know, this unfathomable event, and to try to help them work our way through it. And we're in a state of mourning here in Donegal now, and it's just a really, really difficult time. The other point just I'd like to make as well, whilst our thoughts are first and foremost with the families and friends of the victims, and indeed those that remain injured, we certainly wish them a full recovery. I also want to pay tribute to the responding services here today, including my own service and the fire service. They have a very, very difficult job to do, and a lot of the things that they have to deal with are often challenging. And the other own family and friends as well, and children, and so on and so forth. And when they finish their jobs, they have to go back to them. And it's in those quiet hours that you know, the thoughts are more difficult to manage. So we stand with them to support them over the next period of time as well, as they also come to terms with, you know, the outcome of this event. And I just want to pay tribute to all of the responding agencies, our colleagues in the National Ambulance Service and the Health Service Executive, the Gardaí, Civil Defence, Coast Guard, the various helicopter assets of the Coast Guard and the Army Air Corps, our cross-border colleagues in the Northern Ireland Ambulance Service and the Northern Ireland Fire and Rescue Service. These are our neighbours, Pat, as you know, and we work very closely with them and have done for many, many, many years. And when we called, they responded, as they always do, and indeed we do that on a reciprocal basis. And then the various numerous offers of additional assistance that I got from around the country from colleagues, many of whom I hadn't heard from in quite some time, just to thank everyone for their thoughts and their offers of support. It's very, very, very much appreciated at this time. And
the trauma, I'm thinking of those who work in the emergency services and who live in the neighbourhood and perhaps were tasked with the job of recovering the bodies of those whom they knew, which is a terrible thing to have to do.
It's not unusual for any of the responding agencies in Ireland, you know, to come upon a scene where it's one of their neighbours. It happens quite often with our fire and rescue service, and indeed with our ambulance services as well. And it adds to the difficulty of the job that they do. But they do it, and they do it very, very professionally. You know, they did a really, really good job in desperately difficult circumstances there and Creeslow over the last few days. And it's important to give them tribute as well. But look, today, these days, this week, it's about us trying to support the families of the victims as we try to come to terms with this.
And the premises themselves and what's left, presumably it's got to be preserved for the forensic examinations, but also made safe.
Yeah, well, as we were working through it, trying to make it as stable as possible to affect the rescue and recovery. And it was challenging. And as I said, we had one of our council engineers on site assisting and advising on that. The premises visibly, you know, looks quite unstable. And it's, as I said, it's under the control of the Gardaí at the present time as they complete their investigation. And I guess after that, then the assessment will be made as to what the next steps are in relation to that.
Yeah. And I presume the road is still closed?
Road's still closed, yeah, while the investigation is ongoing.
Gary, look, thank you very much for taking the time out to talk to us this morning. Gary Martin, who is the Director of Emergency Services with Donegal County Council. Gary, thank you.
Thank you, Pat.
I'm also joined by clinical psychologist Claire Hayes. Claire, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, the whole country was in shock when they heard the news of what happened in Donegal. And, you know, we didn't know the death toll in the early stages. But then as the afternoon turned to evening, we got the news that perhaps 10 or more people had died. But the shock in Donegal, much more acute, I suppose, than wider afield.
I would imagine so, Pat, and I'm saying imagine because I don't know, and really none of us do, what's going on for the people who are now having to come to terms with the loss of their loved ones. And I would like to join with the nation in giving my sympathies to the bereaved, to their families, their friends, their communities. But I can guess in terms of what might be going on for them, as indeed I can guess what might be going on for the rest of us right around the country. Certainly you mentioned shock, disbelief, sense of denial, this couldn't be happening. And then as the hours go by and the reality and the enormity of the tragedy hits in, a real sense of deep, deep, deep sadness, loss. So they're emotions that I would imagine a lot of people are experiencing in Donegal and right around the country.
Now, the nature of what happened, so random, so unexpected, and so many what ifs. What if I had gone, you know, half an hour earlier or later to pick up the milk or whatever it might be in the service station? What if, what if, what if? And every day, I suppose, there are so many unknown near misses that maybe all of us have.
Absolutely. And this is one of our opportunities to really know that, to take that in. There's a difference in the death with what's called a nurturing moment. And this is a nurturing moment for the people in Donegal. This is a moment where we surround them as best we can with support, with compassion, and we give them space. We give them privacy. We give them time. But for the rest of us who aren't directly involved, this is a teaching moment for us, a teaching moment for children to know that there are things in life that we have absolutely no control over. And that is a reality of life. And most of the time, I forget that and continue my life as if it's going to last forever and ever and ever and ever. And then something like this terrible tragedy stops me in my tracks and makes me think, well, what would it be like for my family if I had been one of those people who'd been killed? Would I be leaving a mess behind? It's a moment for me to really question how I'm living my life. Would I have a sense of that I had lived my life to the best way I could? So there are moments that, unfortunately, tragic, tragic moments that really wake us up. And so there's a complexity. And Pat, you mentioned the what ifs. My heart goes out to everybody in this, but also to the people who might be silent in their own grief and confusion and trauma. People who were in the shop 5 minutes before. People who maybe said, no, I don't want to go and get whatever, you get it. People who might experience, I don't like jargon, but guilt, survivor guilt, a sense of, I should have been, or why didn't I, or I wish I had. And it can be very difficult. Somebody who maybe had a row with somebody, it can be very difficult for those people to be able to raise their hand and say, I'm experiencing difficulties. I'm experiencing loss. I'm experiencing sadness. And we do know as well that lots of people, even already, I would expect, are experiencing anger. So there's a complexity of emotions that people will experience, and rightly so.
Now, sometimes terrible things happen and it can be explained by, for example, risky behaviour if you have people driving too fast in bad weather conditions and so on, and something terrible happens. And again, you'll have the what if I didn't set out, what if I decided to leave it another half an hour until the rain stopped, whatever, whatever. But on Friday afternoon, everything that was going on has to be described as absolutely unrisky behaviour. No one was doing anything that was in any way, under normal circumstances, risky behaviour at all.
Yes. Yes, and that could be hard for some people to really come to terms with. And that is, you know, when we think about it, if we were to think about what could happen before we get up in the morning, we could trip and fall going down the stairs if we have stairs. We could. They're very frightening. And the balance in all our lives is somehow coming to terms with that, recognizing that, yes, terrible things can happen completely out of the blue. We can be, I heard somebody over the weekend describe somebody as being in the wrong place at the wrong time. Or maybe, depending on our own spiritual belief, maybe that's part of somebody's story. I don't know. But it's our own personal journey to come to terms with this. And there is a difference. There's a real difference, Pat, between someone like me who is not directly involved at all. I don't know anybody in Christie personally. And my heart goes out to them. But somebody like me, and somebody who is so heartbroken right now because their child, their parent, their neighbor, their friend, their classmate has died in this tragedy. And again, it's separating that out. And it's for people like me to give the people who are hurting the space while at the same time not running to the hills. You know, when I was invited to speak, there was a sense of, you know, who am I to dare to talk? And yet we're all doing our best. And I think that's what will happen over the next few weeks. As a country, we will each individually do our best to support the people who have been bereaved.
And finally, Claire, the question of an explanation as to what happened and why it happened, does that help?
I would suspect for a lot of people that yes, they will want to know. They will want to know answers. And I would suspect that there will be a drive. And then after, whether it's a clear, definitive answer or there isn't, there might be afterwards a sense of not even so much anticlimax, but emptiness. And we all deal with tragedy in our own ways. So some people might put on hold, if you like, all of the sadness, the loss, the grief, until they have the answer and then be absolutely hit. So, you know, people in Donegal will be well aware of this. They've had many, many tragedies, unfortunately. It's now, yes, people are experiencing emotion, but in 3 months' time, 6 months' time, 5 years' time, whenever someone gets to the point of realizing that is the answer, and now I still am missing the person I love, or I don't have an answer and I have to move on. So it's individual, Pat. Yes, for some people. And, you know, some people, it can be lovely is the wrong word. It can be, might be slightly easier to know that, well, it was someone's fault or maybe not, or something or an accident. Or so, yes, of course, I want to know. The whole country will want to know what caused it. But that's not going to ease the real raw pain that's there.
Clinical psychologist Claire Hayes, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
The quarter pounder with cheese had many great things. Maple flavored griddle cakes, is it one of them? McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.